Good morning, everybody. Well, everybody sounds lively this morning. I tell you, I got some really good sleep last night. Real long sleep. I'm still tired. But praise the Lord. You know, you ever have those moments where your flesh is nagging on you more than you think you ever had it nagging on you? But you're called to do something anyways. He has called you to be a partaker of His grace and partaker in operation in His body, regardless. So what do we do with that? We put off the flesh. There you go. I'm having to practice that right now this morning. Praise God. But there was something I was reading last night. I'm going through Acts with the girls. And there's something that really caught my attention. And I'm just going to go to it for a second. We're going to go to Acts 19. And I'm just going to start in 13. And I'm just going to kind of just go over what happened in the first part of 19. He goes to Ephesus. Preaches in a synagogue. Some people reject him. Some people believe. Of course, the word of the Lord is like any two-edged sword. It divides and separates. Who's going to believe? Who's not going to believe? And he separated his disciples. But here's an interesting story coming up to this point. And this really caught my attention. And it struck fear in my heart. A healthy fear. A fear of the Lord. Something that we all need to have. That helps us motivate our butt. And naturally, that fear of God is not within us. By nature, it's not within us. Something we choose to do is fear God. Something we learn. Something we do in the spirit. Because this carnal man is that enemy with God and wants nothing to do with it. So naturally, it's not gonna fear God. But this, reading the Word, struck fear in my heart. And it was a healthy fear. There are certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sepha, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I don't want to be in that position where I say, "In the name of Jesus, leave," and the devil jumps all over me. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. I don't know who you are. That scares me. That tells me something. That tells me, do I know my Lord Jesus? Am I in the Lord Jesus? Am I operating in that power? These guys were presumptuous. They thought they were in the Lord and they had this power. But apparently they didn't. And they were not in the Lord. The only way that Paul can do this, and that he had handkerchiefs, he prayed over handkerchiefs and aprons, and people were healed just by the handkerchiefs and aprons, not even having to go lay hands on them. And that's the testimony about what Jesus said. "And greater works than these will you do, because I go to the Father." But Paul knew Jesus. Paul knew he was in the body. and he was covered by his armor and his righteousness. That's the only way that we are going to stand against the enemy and stand to go forth and to be any good for the Lord is by abiding in the Lord. And you know how you get to where you are walking in this is by obedience. By obedience. And we have throughout the scriptures how we're to be. It all falls under love God, love one another. But let's take a part of that where it says, servants, obey your masters unto the Lord. I think it talks about in Peter, so the word of the Lord is not blasphemed. Because that's His way. You take on His name, you take on His way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Husband, love your wives, as Christ has loved you. Wives, be obedient to your husbands. This is the Lord's way. You want to know Him. You want to abide in Him. You want to be in His body. So that the hope you get in, come enter in that good and faithful servant. At the last day, you learn His way. I want to go to John 15 here. Backwards, Philip. The Gospel of John. And it's laid out here very simply. There's no confusion here. There's no gray area. It's really black and white. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. There's nothing that we can bring to the table. It's all about what Jesus did and us walking in that way that He has provided for us to walk in. It's obedience unto Him. And in doing that, we take on that armor. And we can be fruitful for the Lord. Only in Him. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I don't want to be cast in the fire and burned. But the good news, folks, is that you don't have to be. That's why He came down and shed His blood for us and showed us the way and gave us His word. He's revealed Himself to you that you may know Him. He said if we want it bad enough. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So here we go. If He's abiding in me and I'm abiding in Him, when I say, devil, get out in Jesus' name, guess what? It's going to flee. Amen? Carnal man, shut up. Get back on the cross. It's going to do it. Because you are walking in His righteousness, not your own. And I want the Lord. It's one thing for us to know about the Lord or know the Lord or know of the Lord. But it's one thing that I want the Lord to know me. So he goes, Philip, go do such and such. I want to hear just that name. Philip, I want you to go do such and such. Praise the Lord. He called upon me. Hallelujah. He knows who I am. As wretched as a man that I am, he could say, Philip, go do such and such. And my response seems to be, praise God, hallelujah. I want you to go shovel crap. Praise God, you know who I am. Done that. But that's how we are. We are ought to be. How many of us, Philip, I want you to go shovel crap. Lord. Thank you, Paul. I'm not going to say that on there. But you get it? You know, praise the Lord that He's even calling upon me. Because I don't even deserve to serve Him. I'm not even worthy of that. But He loved me enough that He recognizes me and uses me. Anyways, regardless how much of a scumbag I am. And most of you guys can testify how much of a scumbag I am. It's clear as day. But praise God. That's a joyous thing. And we really need to grasp a hold of that thing. Because I don't want to, at the end of the road, go, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. And be like one of these branches that don't know Him. I don't want to be that. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And you know, I do want to bring up one point. He is praising to the chosen, the one that the Father chose. This is who He's praying for. And I'm going to wrap this in a second. As the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He loved them. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. That's an opening right there. I don't want to just know the Lord, or know of the Lord, or know about Jesus. I want to know the Lord. I want to be His friend. And all of us here can be His friend if we want to. You keep His commandments. Keep His commandments. You keep His way. How else, guys? He also later talks about they will know you're my disciples by for your love for one another. His commandment is love God, love one another. And how else, if we're walking out there in our own way, in our own deceitfulness, in our own ways, in our own quote unquote self-righteousness or whatever it may be, how are you bearing fruit? How are you bringing fruit unto the Lord? How will they know how good the Lord is if you're not operating in that goodness that He's laid out for you and in His way? Guys, I'm telling you this because this is what struck me. Last night I was going through this. I want to know the Lord, and I want the Lord to know me. Yeah, Philip, you're covered. You believed. You trusted in my righteousness. You did what I commanded you. Enter in thy good and faithful servant. That's what I want. That's what I want for every single one of you guys. And I want it for the people that are struggling, that's in the same boat I am, out there struggling with drug addiction, struggling with whatever, thinking about hating their lives to just trying to kill themselves with drugs. I want that for those people too, because there's a much better way, and there is somebody that loves them out there. There's people out there, the world just chewed up and spit out. This world's not nice. But God, sending His Son down on the earth to die for you and me and Him, loves us. And that's what I want to be partaker of. He's good. We're not. Neither is the world. The world's a part of Satan's kingdom. It's not part of God's, and we're not called to walk in that. We're called to walk in His kingdom. So you want to move forward in the Lord. You want to bear fruit in the Lord. You want the Lord to know you, and you know the Lord, and Him abide in you, and you abide in Him. Amen? Let's get honest with ourselves. Let's examine our own hearts. Let's bring accountability to ourselves right now by the Word of God. Bringing ourselves under subjection unto His way and unto the authorities. They're for your good pleasure. They're for your good. I was with Paul last week. I mean, this is just how blessing of Paul is. I was kind of funking out. There's some things going on. You know, financially, I was looking at this thing, looking at stuff that needed to get done. I was getting overwhelmed. Unbelief started coming in. Unbelief started attacking. And I just started opening up with Paul. It's Tuesday night. I just started opening up. I don't think he said but three or four words. And now I'm just blah, 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 blah. But by the time I got done just getting this stuff out, my perspective had changed 180 degrees. And then I started looking at the whole day and what the Lord's done and what the Lord's been accomplishing and how good and great and awesome He is and what He's doing. And my perspective was through a crapshoot, I would say. I don't know what I would call it, but my perspective wasn't right. But just by just banking that off, of my perspective turned 180 degrees. And then you can see how good the Lord has been moving. I had some fog, and it got cleared up. But if I didn't use that my authority and go to Him with these things, I don't know if I would ever got that fog wiped up. But I needed that. So they're there for your good. And you have the opportunity to know Him, and He loves you. You know, and that was just something that good that hit me last night. So, we have His way. We have His Word. There's no excuse for us to not have that enter in thy good and faithful servant. There's no excuse. And with that, I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening, guys.
The sound there for a minute like you're going to take my thing. But since we didn't talk this morning, that was not good. The thing out of John 15 is how... It's instructions how to avail yourself of His friendship. Now, is that something You do by showing up every time the church doors are open, or is that something you choose to do? It's all a free will thing. He doesn't open up your head and just pour his stuff in. Doesn't work that way. It's something you act of your will. Because in the end, well, actually in the beginning, Jesus didn't come to save this. This is cursed. Came to save your soul, the seat of your will, the place that rules this. And in Acts 19, and in many other places, we have people who, I can take Briley's tricycle and I can drive it into my garage, but that's not going to make it a car. I can walk into a church building and sit down there every week, but that don't make me a Christian. Right? And in John 15, it says, be my friend. How? Do what I say.
David said something that he learned a long time ago. The only way people have to see the love of God is through you.
I didn't hear the tail end of that, but that's okay. I want to look at Matthew. We're going to spend some time in Matthew 6, some time in Matthew 7, and some time in Matthew 9. I'll try to get it all in here before the top of the hour. He's got some descriptions here of stuff going on in people that were going on in those people in Acts 13. And the truth of the matter is, these guys didn't want anything to do with Jesus. They wanted the power. They wanted to be impressive. They wanted people to marvel at them. Yeah. So Matthew 6, verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They want to be seen of men, that's all the reward they're going to get. There's no commitment to on Jesus' part to do anything for them. None. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. Of this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, that becomes the disciples' prayer, it's falsely called the Lord's Prayer, but that's where he teaches them how to pray. I'm moving on. Let's go to some good stuff in here. Let's move on to Matthew 7:21. And I'd like to just go through all this, but I can't do that right now. We don't have time. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth what? The will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, Let me read the next verse too. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. These guys' problems were they wanted to be seen doing the works. They wanted people to marvel at them and talk about how great they were. They're still trying to dress up a cursed thing and offer it to the Lord. That's the sacrifice of Cain. The Lord cannot accept that. The soul, that's all it is. Let's go to Matthew 9. And Jesus messes up the... makes the Pharisees irritated with him for equating himself with God for healing. He says, the thing that irritates him is he says, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And, you know, who can forgive sins except God himself? You're not... So in verse 11, when the Pharisees... let me go to 10. It came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?"
Ain't nobody else but Jesus.
That's all he could. That's all he had. All he had to eat with was publicans and sinners. But the Pharisees didn't judge themselves to be sinners. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Which was essentially handing the Pharisees their ticket out, because they didn't perceive themselves as sinners. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put on to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the new bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine in new bottles, and both are preserved." God didn't commit to you to save this body. He committed to you to save your soul. And the new wine it is the renewed, the new man, which he can become friend with, and you can go in and sup with him, and it's the regenerate heart. It's the soul that is committed and chose him. That's the new wine bottle. He can come into that. The old body? No. He didn't come in here to save this body. And there's, you know, there's a lot of other stuff in here. You know, this is the new covenant. I mean, this is not totally about that, but this is what the Lord showed me about this for this purpose today. And I know I can stand to be corrected on this by others, and I probably will be, but that's for the purpose today. This is not something we can doll up. I can put a dress on a Barbie and put it in the bed next to me. It's not my wife. Okay? Put lipstick on a pig. Still a pig. You can't dress this thing up with works to be seen of others. And you don't get anything out of other people's opinion of you. And that's an old system, a carnal system. That's like putting new wine in an old wine bottle. When it's done, there's nothing there. There's no bottle. There's no wine. The end of that is you're standing there naked and wounded. You got nothing. You try to chase some devils out because you've seen other people do it, and they beat the hell out of you, and you're left there standing naked and wounded. And that was really a vision, a mental vision I really didn't want to have. But you put it in there, Philip. The end of operating as we've always operated, if you continue, what's the current axiom is that if you continue to do the same things over and over again without them working, that's the definition of insanity.
Yes.
Same thing, same way, over and over. You expect different results, and it just never happens.
Yeah, I was in rehab, and they taught that, and nothing worked with them either. So
I'm glad I spit that out so well. Fortunately, some people in here knew what the axiom was. This is a different way of doing things. You choose to please Jesus and the Father because it pleases the new regenerate man. Delight yourself in the Lord, and what?
He will give you
the desires of your heart. I want to know how to delight Him.
Amen.
I want Him to delight in me. What happens as a result of that is just, praising glory to Him. Stuff will happen from me making that choice. He will draw nigh unto God, and He will
draw nigh unto you.
Of course, all that comes after a humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. God resists the proud. It gives grace to the humble. Humble people don't go around trying to show off for the esteem of men. Humble people run around trying to please the Lord. And then the Lord's able to plug you into the other thing in Matthew 6, which is as you seek Him first and His righteousness, all these other things can be added unto you. Your Father knows what you need before you ask it. And our testimony is about how good He is. And Philip can stand up here and talk this stuff because he has experienced it. There's no glory in standing up here and giving a false testimony about something you know nothing of to be highly esteemed by the people hearing. If this isn't true, if it hasn't changed anything about me or about Philip or about Brad or about anybody else, it just rings hollow, and you don't get anything from a false testimony or a false witness. These guys in Acts 13 didn't care about the testimony or the witness. They wanted the power. I would be peddling false gospel by telling you could have any of the power without any of the choices being changed. Any of your choices being changed. You have to choose to please the Lord. You have to choose to humble yourself. You have to choose to mortify your members on this earth. You have to choose to set your affections on things that are above. The choice is a free will choice you make because you have heard the truth and you want to be a partaker of the goodness of the Lord. He's been good to me. He's been good to Philip. He's been good to Brad. He's been good to everybody in this room. And when you humble yourself and receive it as His goodness, and that He's trying to reveal Himself to you and manifest His presence to you, and you seek Him therefore, then He can reward you openly. And that, I don't know, man. To me, that's good news.
Amen.
I'm done. Okay, come on. I'm done.
Yeah, and that could be wrong on this, but the thing that hit me when Paul was talking about new wine in old bottles, and advice you can't put new wine in old bottles, the other thing is, if we're not getting this soul, we put off this flesh, that old bottle, and we live unto God. And He's here to save your soul. Now, if you get to heaven, the condition that you're at there, or here, is the same condition you're going to be up there. So it's about getting the soul right with Him. So when you receive that new body, that new mansion He has for you, you can stay there. Because Lucifer was without sin, but yet sinned, and was is sent to hell and destruction. What makes us think we would be any different? If we're not getting it right here and choosing and bringing ourselves accountable to God now, don't think you're going to do it if we get there. And it's very important on that note. That hit me like a ton of bricks when you were saying that. I almost jumped up and said, wait, I got something. But praise God, that's all.